That's Randy Crawford, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, welcome to the Boomerang Radio Show. I am your host, W.B. William A. Brown, and I see my panel is here. All right, we have the Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery. Hey, my friend.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
I hear you loud and clear. And Mad Mike from the Mad Mike and Wild Wheel Coast to Coast Show. Hey, Madman, how are you?
Ladies, gentlemen, it's good to see you all. Dr. Sims, you're looking like a chameleon these days.
I can do that.
She's got a new look all the time.
Yeah.
That's right. Is she guessing?
Yes, she does. Looking fabulous, my friend.
Why, thank you, sir.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. You see, and folks, don't let the looks fool you. Don't let it.
Okay, so you're going to get started on me. I'm ready for you today.
Come on. How are you? I'm glad that you are ready. Yeah. And hopefully, Wooten Taylor will join us and Brother Tisdale will as well, because we've got something that I want to share with the audience today that is absolute. I've seen some things that, you know, there's no such thing as that. I've seen it all, because ladies and gentlemen, you haven't. You haven't seen it all. And when you think that man cannot get more dumb, idiotic, oh my God. And there's always something. It's almost, Mike, it's like they're going to one up each other on stupidity. I don't get
it. It's almost like a challenge to each other.
How stupid can I get? It is absolutely crazy. And so, but anyway, we've had a great week, a great last week. Now, last week, I think it was just you, Mike, Dr. Demery, and yours truly here. The three of us, we had, great conversation, and I know Ann and Dr. Sims, they were out on hiatus, I suppose. And Mike, would you like to tell Dr. Sims what you said live on air last week about her absence?
I said, it's a total shame that the ladies aren't here today, but I'm sure they're out there doing something very important and taking care of and saving the world.
Yeah. Okay. That's not quite. Do I need to do I need to roll the tape back, Dr. Demery? Do I need to roll back the tape?
He's watering it down a little bit.
Watering it down a little bit. Oh, he lied. No, he didn't water it down. We don't play on this show. He absolutely lied. No, matter of fact, if memory serves me correctly, you're saying, look, I'm going to paraphrase it. I can't articulate exactly the way you said it, but it was to the thing. If we can be here, they should be here. All right. Isn't that kind of what you said, Mike?
Dr. Sims, would I say something like that?
No, do I need to roll the tape?
Look at this cute little face. You think I would say something so meaningful
Dr. Sims, I tell you what.
You're the one who started the whole mess. I went back and listened to y'all on Sunday. So stop lying on Mike, okay?
Lying on Mike? You heard what Mike said?
Demery said, I'm not in it. I'm Bennett. I'm not in it. And then this in good taste, I won't take it wrong.
Oh, okay.
Be clear the air on that. But I did hear what you said.
We're talking about Mike right now. Are you going to let Mike off the hook?
My gosh, you need to quit. You started it.
I know I started it. It's my job to start stuff. But, you know, but generally, what I'm saying to you, see, when Ann's not here, okay, and even when Ann is here, Dr. Demery, you notice how Mike wimps out and jumps on the lady's side. You notice that? Oh. Yeah. Affirmation. Absolutely.
You're telling a story. Okay. You are just telling a story.
I'm not
telling. Goodness.
It's on
you. You said these ladies think that because we had a holiday. I heard you. Because we had a holiday that they get another day off. I'm going to talk to them about this. Oh, I heard it all, bro. I told you I was coming with you today.
Uh-oh. I'm glad you're here. You're still looking
and
beautiful.
We warned you and told you that we wouldn't be here because I celebrate my whole month. I don't care if nobody like it. I do it. It is what it is. Uh-huh. And that's a thing of mine. And then Ann just told you, she said, I'll see you in December. She did say that.
Well, where is she now?
Well, you know, you got to talk with her about that.
Oh no! Oh no! You don't do it. No, you standing up for her.
I am, and I'm gonna stand up for her and keep it on while she's on here too. Don't do it. I'm snitching on you when she do come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk about artificial intelligence, corrupt preachers, and mental illness.
Good switch over.
I know exactly. So, man, I'm just going to start this off. We've had some fabulous broadcasts throughout the year. And I want to thank God. I want to thank my audience. I want to thank my panelists, because I do truly believe that we have assembled some of the best people that are a great fit for this network. What I mean by that, because these people have integrity. They're very well educated and they're able to articulate, their positions. Now, we don't agree on everything on any of our platforms. And that is really, really okay with me. Okay. We do not want a platform that there are people, yeah, we agreeing on everything, because sometimes I may have a position that I think is right. And each of us may have positions that we think are right. But let's go down to the facts. Because, we come with purity anyway. Because I'm not going to say something just to be saying it to gain, get listeners, get clicks, or anything like that. I'm going to say it if I believe it. Now, if Mike or Dr. Sims or Dr. Demery or Ann or any of our panelists say, well, no, William, did you fact check this? Did you fact check that? Take a look at this. And I think that we all have the ability to discern what is right and wrong. Okay? We don't have to agree. And it would be boring as, you know what, if we did agree on everything all the time. Because there are two sides to a coin. Okay?
Sometimes more than two.
Okay. Well, I wonder what kind of coins.
It's all about perspective.
I don't know what you're looking at, Mike.
Because, I'll give you a quick example. Dr. Demery will back me up on this. If you're an officer, you roll up to a scene of an accident, and you start interviewing people that say, I saw it. I watched the whole thing happen. I saw the whole thing. You will get, if you got four people there, you're going to get four different stories, because mm-hmm. it's about perspective. And that's what I mean by there's more than one side of the coin sometimes.
Right. Okay.
It's not always so cut and dry, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I do agree with that. I do agree with that. But when you have, and it's really not a but there. My point is, if you have people that says, you know, there are alternative facts, then I have a problem with that. There's no such thing as an alternative fact. It's either, and that's why we address these issues, okay? To find out what is factual. I mean, when we start talking about alternative facts, then we are fooling ourselves. That means that, okay, it could be half true or what. I don't even know. I don't know what an alternative fact is. Oh, hey, Dr. Demery, I think we do know what an alternative fact is, don't we?
Absolutely.
It's a lie. There's only one truth. It's either, and there are no gray areas. It's right or wrong, good or bad, good or evil. I mean, how are you going to slide? And what we're doing, and when you start preaching or teaching that nonsense, you're only screwing up our children. Mm-hmm. When they're saying, hey, Dr. Demery, your comment, please.
Santos will tell you about alternative facts.
George Santos, who just got expelled from Congress. Okay. and think about this for a second. And that's, you know, I tell you, let's do this. Because the three of us, last week we did, part of our segment was refuse to be a victim. And Mike went through a program that he started. Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. You started this in the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department. I'm sorry to get that away, but if that's okay. I just say it now.
Actually, they approached me because I was doing a lot of public speaking at schools and doing recruitments and such right. for the department. And I was getting good reviews from the schools. They always wanted me back and such. And they said, we have an issue with seniors in our communities where they are probably the most vulnerable part or spectrum of our society, because the little children and the elderly are the ones that are the most vulnerable. However, the children usually have some type of supervision. And when you have senior citizens where their kids grow up, they move out of state, one of their spouse dies, and so now they're alone, and they maybe have a neighbor or something. So they become really a target from the evil in this world. So the, Gary Penrod, who was the sheriff at the time, came to me and said, "Hey, you're pretty good with your mouth, Mike." He goes, "Can you create a program that's designed for the seniors?" I said, "Yeah, let me work on it, and I'll bring it back to you and let you approve it." So that's how it was born. Was it originally was for seniors, right. But it became such a popular program that, man, I was doing American Legions and boat clubs and schools, universities, and depending on the age group or who I was addressing, I had to tailor it to them for the benefit of their age or what they were looking for to get out of it. So that's how it was born, and it did very well. Yep.
Yeah, and so the reason why I'm bringing it up because that segment or that program that Mike put together and implemented, when you said refuse to be a victim, a lot of us are thinking about, and which is also included, when we're going out shopping, especially during the holidays, when you are going out to a party or going out to an event or things like that, be vigilant, make sure you look at your surroundings and things of that nature. I want to expand a little bit deeper into that, and refuse to be a victim to me also, Mike, and I'm sure you address this as well. When it comes to your credit, when it comes to your personal business, your personal information, refuse to be a victim to me also, refuse to give in or accept these scammers, even though you don't know they are scammers, but be careful about who you share your information with. Okay? You'll get an email. And if you click on it and you say, and see, the way they do now, doing it now, especially with artificial intelligence, all of this is part of artificial intelligence, where they will, say for instance, you have a credit card, or you shop at, Macy's, or you, or one of the major department stores, or whatever it is that you signed up for, Target, or whatever it is. And you get an email, or Costco, you get an email that says, "Hey, you have won been selected." Now you look at the email and it looks legit because the logo in Dr. Sims is legit. I mean, it's a thing called copy paste. There's a system, copy paste, like Mike just said. Okay. They have copied their logo, put it on this bologna. This is a family show, so I said bologna. They put it on this bologna and send it to you. It looks legit. And you going to call them or connect with them to get your prize. Okay. And based on the information they get from you, they're able to scam you. They are able to scam you. Tell you what I did. And this can go for any age. Because if you know, people, you know, we love free, don't we? And somebody's going to offer us something for nothing, we're going to jump at it. But if we remember our parents telling us, you never get something for nothing. We've all heard that. Okay? But we get on, we jump on that, and we give them information. And I tell you what, I had over $400 charged on from my bank account. Okay? I'm in Richmond, Virginia. This was at Washington State. Out there in Seattle somewhere, thousands of miles from me. I called the bank. I said, "This is a scam." They said, "How you know it's a scam, Mr. Brown?" I said, look at my receipts here. On the date that this is charged in Washington State, do you see another charge here in Richmond, Virginia? He said, yes, sir. I said, how in the hell I'm going to be in two places one time? They gave me my money back. But that taught me something. Don't click on everything because it looks legit. You need to follow it up. One other time I get something in the email, and that time, instead of clicking on anything, I called the company myself. It was T-Mobile, as a matter of fact. I said, wow, you guys are doing all of this? They said, Mr. Brown, that's a scam. Okay? So what I'm saying is refuse to be a victim, Mike, and I want you to expound on this. Or Dr. Sims, if you have something to say, and then I will go to back Mike and then back to Dr. Demery.
Well, you know what? I'd just like to share with you about something, how and you were heading in the right direction, because they've gotten so defined with their tactics of scamming to the point it looks very legit. Nine times out of ten, if it seems too real or too true, mm-hmm. and nine times out of ten, it's not. And I'm going to tell you why I know this. They even go on as far as putting advertisements on Facebook, on social medias.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you can also look them up on Google, and it's so defined. They have pictures. They have a good write-up, the whole nine yards. I know this for a fact because I got blown out of the water by one of them. And the reason why is I looked at this and I said, oh gosh, this looks so wonderful. It's on, you can Google it and you can get the history, the data, what have you. But had I researched a little bit further and read the fine writing under there where somebody else did the fine print, their research, I would have known and found out they were lying. They were deceiving. Because like you said, William, they make it appear like you're getting something for real cheap and nothing. And I wanted this console, you know, and it had a fireplace in it. And I wanted to put it in my place. And I thought, okay. And they came on Facebook, and that's what got my attention, because they said, everything is sold out. We're over. You know how they do this blowout sale, right? And I love getting sales. And most women, most of us do. And I said, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? All these consoles, they are so beautiful. And how come I gave them my card, okay? And till this day, I haven't seen a console. I haven't seen, they took my money, of course. It wasn't much. I'm not going to dictate the amount, but I was bamboozled. And when you do, and I think we talked about this Thursday, emotional, they work on the emotional psyche of individuals. And if you're not aware of their tactics, and like I said, you can tell the regular old novice scammer because they don't have their stuff together. But today, these scammers today, they almost beat now AI. Okay.
Look.
So tough. Okay. I'm just saying they are so tough that you better have some private investigation behind you. You better research your product and all of that. And so, like you said, if it sounds too good to be true, nine times out of ten, it is.
Right.
Right.
Yep. You know, Dr. Demery, some of these charlatans or characters, whatever, they are just, you know, just like you go to a movie and that actor is so good that you believe the movie, even though you know it's not real. Okay. What I'm saying is, there are con artists out here, and they do things, and see, there is an art to selling anything. First of all, you have to find a customer, in this case, a victim. Then, Dr. Sims, you said something very important. You tag on their emotions, okay? You find out where their vulnerabilities are. And you play on that. For instance, I might say, Dr. Sims, are you interested in A, B, C, D, and F? Okay. And you say, yeah, I'm interested in all of those. Dr. Sims, let me just share something with you. The program I'm about to offer you will give you all of those things that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Every last one of those things that you're looking for. What would it mean for you to be able to receive those benefits? And you get into that, you know, right. Okay. All right. Okay. So tell you what, And the best time today, we have, this is your lucky day. We have a special going on today. We've got a special going on today. How did you do this? How did you happen to call in on the last day of this special? So if you do this right now, you get 20% off. Now you're already liking what I'm saying. It's already agreeing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to give you a bonus on top of that. Do you know now, everybody's not going to sign up for it, but I'm going to tell you something. I called 10 people. If 3 people buy it, I made my money. Their numbers are on my side. Dr. Demery.
Well, I would say this goes to the extreme, and I really want to hear what Mike's opinion is, because most of us nowadays have firearms in our homes. And there was a reason, you guys may not have heard about it, but I know Mike probably saw it on the news. There was a homeowner who shot the guys who were breaking into his home and threatened his family. And he actually killed one of them and wounded another one, they think, because it was a trail of blood. Now, I am a man of peace. People may not. Wait, I am a man of God, and I believe in peaceful resolutions to all things. But sometimes, you know, extreme circumstances require extreme actions. This homeowner was at home. Somebody broke into his house. They were threatening him. He shot one of them, killed one of them, shot another one, and the third one ran off. I have no sympathy for those guys. Somebody broke into my house, they're going to be looking down the barrel of my shotgun.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to miss, because all I have to do is just get close, you know?
Okay.
So the point is that, yes, some people will say, oh, well,
what kind of preacher are you?
But if you break my heart and threaten, you're going to get what you get.
Okay. You know?
Yes.
I mean, this point, Mike, where I'm almost thinking about, I used to have a CCW. I'm thinking about getting my CCW again.
Oh, my goodness. It's gotten crazy. So, Mike, you got 2 issues to address. Number one, and we were talking about scammers, emails, and which is a very serious thing, too. And, you know, and the thing about it is, and I want you to address, Mike, you got your work ahead of you here. I want you to address both issues, because both are vitally important. I've had, and I know personally, 2 elderly people that were scammed that I know of. And both were clients of mine. One was coming out of the Bank of America. And I don't know. And Dr. Sim, tell you how slick these cats are. Coming out of Bank of America. And I don't know the full story or what the conversation was, but a gentleman approached my client and somehow convinced him to go back in the bank and withdraw $10,000 and give it to him. I know the man. I know his family. Really, really nice man. Army veteran, obviously smart, because he had accumulated a nice amount of wealth. Okay? My other client, she called me one day, and she was in tears. And she was even afraid to tell her husband that someone had just scammed them out of $7,000. And they call pretending to be from the IRS. Ladies and gentlemen, the IRS don't call you. They just take what they want. You know, they don't call you. You will never receive a call from the IRS or the Social Security number. Matter of fact, they don't even pick up the doggone phone.
They sure do.
You try to get through to those bureaucracies, it takes forever. It takes forever. So, Mike, you got two issues that I want you to address. Okay, take whatever order you want. Dropping somebody with your gun first, or addressing what we were talking about with these scammers.
Yeah, let's talk about the scammers first, because that's an easy one. This happens all day, every day. When we get done with this program here today, I'm gonna send you guys. Every day I get an email from Home Depot or from Lowe's or from Target every single day, and it looks very legit. You have won a brand new whatever. But if you take your cursor on your computer and you put it on top of the email address where it says Home Depot, you put your cursor there and it says Clyde Cadiddle Hopper Florida or something. You know, the email address that shows up when you hover your cursor over the top of that, it's always some bizarre email address. And again, if you open it up and look at it, they're going to ask your name. They need your credit card. They need, the 3-digit code on the back of your credit card. If they're asking for all that stuff, and this happens every day, and it happens to me. I get it probably at least one, sometimes two a day. So I'll send you like the last three that I've received so you can see what they look like. And again, don't open it and don't take advantage of the free offer, please, because it's not free. But you have the telephone scams. You've got people knocking on your door. Hey, we're in the neighborhood and we're doing driveway repair. And we've got a lot of traction in your driveway. Or it might be your roof. Hey, we noticed there's a couple of shingles missing off your roof. Or, man, your roof's looking really tattered. You know, how old is it? And they'll start doing that. Well, we're going to be working in the neighborhood for the next 2 weeks. Listen, we'll give you a special today and today only. If you give us 50% down within this next week or so, we're going to be out here. I'm going to repair your driveway. So one of two things happens. You never hear from them again. They take the money that you gave them, the 50%, right, on their special deal. Or they come back out with like a blacktop slurry or something, and they make your driveway look nice and black for a little bit, and it sort of fills in the cracks, but it's not a proper repair. It's just a redneck slipshod. It's a Band-Aid at best. And then they get the other half of your money. You know, you gave them a 50% up front. Now you're getting the other 50%. So that happens. And the same thing with the roofing stuff. So be very weary of people knocking on your door going, hey, yeah, we're working in the neighborhood and we noticed that, this, or we're a tree trimming service and your tree's really overgrown here. We can be back here tomorrow. Yeah, we can do it that fast. We can be back here tomorrow. Do we just need 50% down? So yeah, that stuff happens. You got the telephone, you got the computer. And that's all incorporated into my Refuse to Be a Victim course as well. The whole class is about 2 hours. So I go into all kinds of things about where you're driving, what's in your hands, what do you carry on your person. Lady, and you've heard me say this over and over, ladies, stop carrying a purse. At least don't put your valuables in your purse. And if you have a CCW permit, you definitely don't want to have your weapon in your purse. So, yeah, it should be on you. And concealed. That's what concealed carry means. Concealed 100% of the time. So that goes towards the scammers that are out there. And as William mentioned, it's a game of numbers. It's a game of percentages. If they send out these emails and they go out to, let's say they send out the same email to 100,000 people or 200,000 people. If they get a 1% return on that, If 1% of those 200,000 people responds and they can scam them, that's a lot of money coming out of a bunch of people's credit cards. Just 1%. Let's say 0.5%. 0.1%. Mm-hmm. It's all a game of numbers. So don't be a victim. Refuse to be that victim. If you're not sure of something, that's on where a phone call or whatever, ask for a return number. Ask for the corporate number or look up the corporate number yourself. They'll have people come to your door pretending to be Edison, and they'll wear a uniform and everything and a little badge hanging and everything. Yeah, we're from Edison. We need to this, this, and this. Well, don't open the door, number one. Ask to see ID. You know, they can show it through you through a window or for the people in your door. And then you call Edison, not the number they give you. Oh, well, here's our home office. No, 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 no. I'm calling Edison direct. and then they disappear all of a sudden. Yeah, so verify things by making those phone calls yourself to a number that you know is legit, not some number that they gave you. So these things are occurring all day, every day, and they seem to ramp up during the holidays for some reason. I guess they're, you know, everybody's emotional and they're busy, and they get a little scatterbrained and they fall for this garbage. So moving on to your defense, your personal defense. I don't think anywhere in God's word did he ever say that you can't protect yourself from harm or from getting killed, or your loved ones, or even somebody you don't even know from getting killed. There's nothing, Dr. Demery and Dr. Sims, you know, you're both way more learned in the Bible than I am, but I'm pretty sure there's nothing in there that says you can't protect yourself or people in your surroundings. So the best way, and this one troubles me, because there's a lot of ladies out there that are against guns. I get it. Guns aren't for everybody. I understand. At least, you know, get peppers, OC, oleoresin, capsicum, OC spray, something. Get a dog, even a little ankle biter. Have a baseball bat. I don't care. Have something to defend yourself with. But ladies should be more in favor of firearms, because, you know, my wife's, she's 5'3" and a little more than 100 pounds. How is she going to defend herself against Dr. Demery, who's what, Dr. Demery, you're 6'5"? Something like that. How's she going to defend herself against somebody that's large with evil intent? The best equalizer I know of that's available to us here in the United States is a firearm, in my opinion. Again, if you, in your brain, in your mind, in your soul, you cannot find yourself to pull a trigger on a gun, don't get a gun. Please don't get a gun. Do something else to defend yourself. Because what happens then is the gun is, because you're afraid to shoot, they can see the fear in your eyes, and they'll take the gun away from you and use it on you. Same thing with a knife or a baseball bat. If they see you in fear of using it, they're going to take it from you and use it on you. So yes, absolutely. You have the right to defend yourself in your castle, but you also have the right for you to defend yourself in the Walmart parking lot. It's not just your home. You have the right to defend yourself everywhere that you go. You, your family, and people around you. I've witnessed many times where people were being taken advantage of or tried to be robbed in a parking lot, and a stranger who happened to watch it going down. A lot of times they're military people that are just shopping or whatever, but they have some experience, and they will come to the aid of this lady whose purse is being taken from her or whatever. They don't even know that person. They have every right to help that person and to thwart that evil that's trying to take advantage of them. So yeah, protect yourself at all times. Situation awareness. Always have your head on a swivel. Be a little bit paranoid. You don't have to be crazy paranoid. You don't have to carry 3 guns and 2 knives. And, yeah.
Like Dr. Sims. Paranoid.
But something. Be a little bit paranoid. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of who's behind you, to the side of you. Move. I have what I call the bubble concept. And I use it when I'm driving. And I use it when I'm out in public, and I use it especially when I'm in crowds. I pretend I have a personal bubble, and I don't let people in my bubble. It's not that I push them away. I will move. If I think somebody's getting too close or they've got something going on, they're coming down the street, I'll go to the other side of the street and see if they follow me, you know, see if they cross over also. Then you know their intentions. So I have my personal bubble, that my force field, so to speak, that I have. And the other reason I do that, well, when you're driving, I don't let cars tailgate me. I will move. I'll change lanes, let them go. I don't care. Or I'll slow down so they'll go around. So I keep that bubble. I ride a Harley. It doesn't matter if you're in the right or in the wrong and you're on a motorcycle. Somebody clips you. You have a high chance of dying. So particularly, I'm hyper aware when I'm on a motorcycle, because I know what the outcome could possibly be. So I have that force field, that bubble around me. I will move. I'll accelerate. I'll decelerate. I'll change lanes. and I try to keep my safety bubble, if I can call it that. So yeah, protect yourself at all times. And if you're in threat of life and limb, you should fiercely defend yourself with anything you've got, a coffee pot, a fire extinguisher, a broomstick, if you carry a weapon, make sure you know how to use it so it's not taken away from you. Absolutely. And Dr. Demery, I probably go back to you and Dr. Sims about, you know, the biblical views on survival. So I'll turn it over. Let's go. Dr. Demery, you want to take it first?
Well, I mean, there's text, particularly in Luke. Luke says, you know, sell your cloak and buy a sword. I think it's in Luke 12, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, I think the thing is, I do not want to be a victim, like you were talking in your classes, Mike. I do not like predators. I do not like people to take advantage of the vulnerable. I mean, I'm in a wheelchair, so I probably look very, very relatively vulnerable. But when people look at my size, they say, well, we better go on to another person. We're going to leave that guy alone. But the point being is that it doesn't matter. Somebody William's size would probably challenge if they thought they could get away with it. So, I mean, I think the point being is that I am very peaceful. I'm very calm. I'm very mild-mannered until somebody threatens me, until they get space, until they get in my environment. I mean, you know, people say that I'm a hunger. Me and my wife go to the range every other month. I want to make somebody breaks into our house and I'm not there. She knows how to use the gun. A lot of people have a gun and you just got it. It sits there, it rusts, it gets gunk all in it. And, you know, I asked some people, when's the last time you fired this thing? Oh, about a year ago. You know, if you're going to have a gun, you have to be responsible. You have to know how to clean it. You have to know how to fire it if you have to. And the old saying is, like we would say in the military, and obviously in law enforcement, what you do in training is 90% of what you'll do in an event.
Muscle memory.
I go to the range every other month because I want to make sure my wife knows how to protect herself in home if she needs to. And I know that may sound a little harsh to some people. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I feel pretty confident if somebody breaks into our house and my wife is here by herself, she knows how to defend herself. And Lord knows I know how to. So if, you know, because we have one of the best home defense weapons that you can have. It's, you know, controversial argument, but I have a shotgun. I have a double barrel.
All right, now, come on.
No.
Just one? Only one, Dr. Demery? Mm. Just one?
Mike, well, Mike, we know you have an arsenal. Okay, all right, never mind.
I've got more than one. But the point being is that I am peaceful with you. I am calm with you until you. If you get crazy, I'm going to get crazy.
Lord.
Stay on.
You know? And so, you know, I think that people, Mike, and you can, you know, give a postscript on, I think people have to stop being victims and have to learn how to start being more of themselves and their property. I mean, we live in a really protected area because before they can even break into my house, they got to get past the fence and all that other kind of stuff. You know, so that's my opinion on it. And there's, you know, biblical references that reference yourself protecting yourself. And that's, you know, from a law enforcement standpoint, that's from a military background, you know, break into my house, you know, and I have a little sign in the front of my door. It says, if you don't know Jesus, if you break into my house, I'm going to send you to him.
Oh, Lord, yep. Oh, you my goodness.
You know what, Dr. Demery, I looked up because I was curious what Mike said about the biblical statement, and I you went to Luke, Dr. Demery, and you were talking about Luke, and what it says is that there was a widow who, and this is a parable, who kept somebody kept pounding at a door, and it says, grant me justice against my adversary. Sarah, it was found in Luke 18:3. This widow was not about, in summary, this widow was not about to give up and let the enemy take advantage of her through the power of proper channels. She pursued self-defense. Now, here's the deal. And the Word of God teaches us wisdom. One of the things that I made a mistake in, my son being over in the military, he's the one who's the captain now in the police department, but we taught them, thou shalt not kill, which that is a commandment. But in its place, we're not just to run out and kill, just kill people. There is wisdom in there. And so he called me from where he was in the battleground. And he said, Mom, they're firing guns over here. What do I do? Because you taught me as a baby, a young boy, to not kill. I told him, you do what you got to do. Okay. Mama was wrong in that, because the Lord is a warrior. Okay. If you look in the Word of God, he is a warrior. And if we look at Moses, remember, they didn't have guns now, but they had what they had, the arsenal that they had. But he taught them, when they had that war, he got tired and they started losing the war. But Aaron and Joshua held up his arms and they fought that battle. But my thing is, no, we're not to look for problems. But I'm with Dr. Demery. You come in my house. You come in my house.
Oh, no.
And whatever I got knives that cut like a butter. You coming off with one limb left at the door. Whatever you gonna do. Okay, don't come in my house because your intentions, I had that happen. Somebody trying to open my home with a credit card, trying to nudge its way into the door. And I spoke to this individual at the window. What do you want? I don't know you. And the first thing out of his mouth, I didn't come to hurt you. Well, let me tell you something. You don't know me. I don't know you. You came to hurt me. And I told him, if you come in my house, I got something for you. But of course I called the police and they know I have a gun because I'm registered. And so the thing is, like I told him, I said, if he opens that door, I'm unloading. And I mean, I am not asking any questions because he was a big guy. Okay. Me being here by myself, I'm 5'2" now, they say I'm shrinking.
Gravity.
Whatever.
Gravity.
And
a bit.
I said, he was a big guy, tall, big guy. And so he was really, and he was kind of inebriated as well, you know. And I said, well, I don't know what's on his mind, and maybe I do, but he's not going to get it from me.
Right.
And so my thing is, like I told the police officers, I at the dispatch, and she says, all right, Miss Sims. I said, I got it locked and loaded. I mean, the lock is off. I'm ready to go. Okay. And I'm standing at the door. If he opens this door, I told them, if he opens this door and step 1 foot over that threshold, I am unloading. And so they sent 5 police officers out, making this short. They sent 5, and she told me, she said, you still have your gun in your hand? I said, I do. And she says, well, when the police come to your door, I'll let you know. And then you hide it behind a pillow or something. I said, for sure. And I did that so that I wouldn't have the gun in my hand when I opened the door to the police officer. That's for safety's sake. Mm-hmm. And so when I did, there was 5 of them. They had the guy in handcuffs. And I told them, I had them all laughing. I said, I'm glad y'all made it because I was ready to go. And then after you took them away, I was going to go and get me a cup of coffee and go to sleep. Now,
hey, you know what? Yeah, Dr. Simpson, guess what? And guess what? And you were in your rights to do that. As a matter of fact, you were supposed to do that. I have no problem with it. You know, I have with my guns, issues, it has nothing to do with people owning arms and things like that. That's a whole different issue for a whole different subject. We'll get into that later. You have a right to protect yourself. And I don't even think that you should have had to hide your weapon, when the police came there. Because
I felt better. I felt better by following their
advice. Yeah, I understand that. I'm coming from a different perspective. But from what I'm saying is, I don't think you should have had to hide it, Mike, because she was protecting herself in her home.
Right. Again, she was just following the dispatcher's orders.
Right. I understand.
Which you should do. But it, I would never expect somebody, if the same thing occurred, my advice would have been, when the police show up, set your weapon down in plain sight.
So right.
So they can see where your weapon's at.
That's exactly right.
And obviously show them your hands. Say, mm-hmm. my weapon's on the dining room table right over there, and be far enough away from it. Just so they can go, okay, we're good here. Let me go back to something that Dr. Sims mentioned about thou shalt not kill. I think that's a misinterpretation. And again, I'm no biblical scholar. I think the proper interpretation of that phrase is thou shalt not murder. There's mm-hmm. a difference between killing and murdering. So I go with that standpoint. I will not run around and kill people, like Dr. Sims said. But I if you're trying to murder me, I'm going to murder you back. Hey. And then let me go back to Dr. Demery's got a sign on his door that he mentioned. I got a sign on my door too. It says, this house is heavily armed. And it, it has an arrow. It says, my neighbor's house is not.
Wait a minute. You're going to send them over to the neighbor's house.
Sure. Why not?
Wow. You have to understand, Mike is on a ranch, and his neighbor is probably about 2 miles down the road. So, look, but you know, I don't disagree with anything you guys have said. Now, my sister, Emma Brown, she's listening.
Hi,
Emma. And then, Gretchen Mickler from Florida.
Yes, hi, Gretchen.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate that. I'm going to switch gears for a minute. And I still think that this has a lot to do with refuse to be a victim. And I'll play some clips here. Okay, let me go back. I'm going to play some clips here, and we're going to comment on this on the way back. Okay. Oh, boy. Let's see, which one? This is crazy. All of these things are crazy. Oh, boy. This is one about false prophets.
Oh, Lord.
Coming to your church. Let's see if I can. Lord, let me make this work. This got to be able to work. Okay, hold on 1 second. All right, here we go.
You're not in the spirit, brother. Sit down. Is that the same one? Brother, listen. Hey, wait a minute. Stop for a minute, my brother. I want to remind you of something. Be quiet. I want to remind you of something. 4 years ago, on Saturday of the Holy Convocation, you got up and you started your false prophecy like you're doing now. And I asked the presiding bishop, I said, when are you going to stop this man? He said, I'll stop him. And you said if we had the election, all 12 of us were going to drop dead. Let me tell you something. I checked the record 2 weeks ago. This is the only quadrennium since 1968 that not one General Bowen member has died. This is the only quadrennium. You are a false prophet, and security, take him out of here.
Okay. Now, I played that clip especially for you, Dr. Sims, and you, Dr. Demery. So, no matter whatever the message that this guy, he was talking about the election and people going to die and blah, blah, blah. I want you and Dr. Demery to address They're dangerous. Now, my sister also sent me a text. She said, was a show about mental illness and mental health. And in many ways, it is because I know we had to talk about refuse to be a victim. And people that are victimized, they go through mental health trauma or mental illnesses. But also, I'm going to submit to our audience around the world that I believe this, Dr. Sims, in all of my heart, Dr. Demery and Mike, that a lot of the worlds, and let's bring it back home, and this country's mental illness issues stem from bad politicians and bad preachers. I believe that Dr. Sims and Dr. Demery, I know both of you, and I know where you come from with your teachings and your preachings. And you come from a perspective that you really want to do God's work and you really want to help people. Many of these mega preachers and these televangelists, they are in it for profit. They don't give a damn about someone's soul. They want to make sure that they can continue living that mansion that they have and keep flying in those million, 65, 45, 55, $65 million jets. So, again, I'm going to go back to this. Dr. Sims, Dr. Demery, when people go to church, they go there for something. They go there for some perspective, some healing, some teaching, a way forward, a way out of whatever they're into. And when that doesn't happen because someone has made them false promises, to me, that has to induce or be a contributing factor to mental illness. And the same thing with our politicians. When you're making people false promises just to get their vote and you don't deliver, and people going, I can't pay my mortgage, I can't do this. Okay. Man, oh God, I'm getting ready to get evicted. Okay. And then I go to the church and I'm let down in both areas. Back to my question. Or the question is, how much does religion and politics play into the mental illness dilemma that we have here in this country? Dr. Sims.
Ooh, mercy. It's a loaded subject, very much so. And with all of the travesties and things going on in this world, populated with the false teachings, false prophets, that is a problem that causes a lot of mental duress. People are already under mental duress when they try to find solutions only to be deceived. And you know, we talked about this Thursday, William, deception. And manipulation. That's a bad spirit, a bad spirit. When you have people that set out to deceive the vulnerable, the weak, and prey, P-R-E-Y, on God's children. And the Bible is loaded with false prophets. And the Lord said, behold, in the last days, there's going to be an increase of false prophets. But the thing is this, is that the children, and I have a problem with preachers not teaching the children to form their own relationship with God and getting to know him for themselves so they would not be hoodwinked by these charlatans.
Come on.
Because you can see what they're for. Now, I fell, and I have to be a first testimony because I'm very transparent. I fell prey to that because in my younger years, if I didn't have $20, like the man who's supposed to have been the man of God said, to get a prayer on me and, you know, him to bless me, I felt
neglected. Does that make sense? It felt like God didn't love me because I didn't have the $20 to get in the prayer line that they used to have.
Oh, see?
And I'm trying to stay calm about this because I'm very passionate about crooks. Me and my daughter were talking about this just maybe a few hours ago. You got thugs in the church that come, demons come to church, y'all. Everybody who's standing up there preaching is not who they say they are. They forget that Satan has his hirelings there mm-hmm. and specifically set up there to keep people blinded. When you make it a hardship, okay, because you want to come up with the come up, you want to get a big house, you want to get a big car, and your whole ball and wax is, I'm going to hoodwink these people, I'm going to get their money because they are so thirsty for a blessing, okay? And I'm trying to keep it light here so I can end it quickly because I have to ask God to help me with this because a lot of them, I feel like just taking a rope and just hanging them by the foot. And But my thing is this, I hate liars, number one, because that's what they're doing. Deceivers are liars. They're making empty promises. How are you going to tell somebody, oh, I saw something here recently. Oh, if you jump up and shout and you give $100, your bill's going to be paid. Your mortgage is going to be paid. You don't have to worry about your cars. God's going to pay that. And God can do it. Yes, he can. Okay. But here's the deal. When you make them go through those calisthenics for filling up your pockets, your intents are wrong. They are wrong. And God never told us to support. I'm just going to be real. God never told us to support and put you up in the penthouse. Okay? He never told us to support like that. He told us what to do to honor him. And all of these extra stuff that they got going on, Jesus' birthday, my birthday, my graduation. Okay, and that's fine. Do I have to pay for it? No. That's not my lot. Paul talks about it best when he was sending Timothy to the church of Corinth. And he told them, he says, when he addressed Corinth, now he told Corinth, the church of Corinthians, he said, listen, you want me to come with a rod or do you want me to come soft? And I'm paraphrasing.
Come on.
And he talked about them charlatans over there too. And he also talked about men not working. Okay. Now, he said, a man don't work, don't eat. Now, I may be going off of just a little bit, but I'm trying to make this point. If you came in to pastor anybody with the intent of making it big because you heard somebody else made it big and you're looking at the wrong sources of being, you want to be prosperous. God said your soul will prosper. It doesn't mean that he's just going to give you money and send you up in a penthouse. Your soul prospers is when you get a solid relationship with God. Because there's going to come a time people are not going to have money. What are you going to do? You're going to pass out? What you going to do? Okay? But my thing is this. Is that false prophets, Ezekiel talks about it best. God dealt with them when in the book of Ezekiel, he's dealing with them now. But guess what? The people of God have got to wake up and see what is real and stop putting confidence in people's flesh because that's what they're doing. There's nobody here, nobody in this flesh can take you to heaven or hell. Nobody. And the way they're trying to project, if you can't pay me $1,000, then God's not, Juanita Bynum is another, I don't know your name, I don't care. Juanita Bynum said, God told me 20 people are going to give me $1,000. If you don't give me $1,000, God's not going to answer that prayer that he said he's going to answer. Well, you a liar, ma'am. You're a liar. And you're a deceiver. And God is not pleased with that. But you know what?